Good morning. Glad to see everybody here. You guys make things so much easier for me. You guys really do. It's just like looking out there. It's like me speaking to my family, and pretty much I am. It's exactly what it is. So it makes it a lot easier for me, and having people praying for me, and having people just the comfort that I get from you guys. So thank you for allowing me to get up here and speak to you all this morning, and I will just let the Word of God speak through me. That's all I'm here to do, so you guys can get encouraged by the Word of God. That's what this is all about this morning. But this morning I'm going to talk a little bit. Well, as you can see, I appreciate David. He texted me this morning, and he asked what I was going to speak about, and the whole thing is going to be faith. Faith-based and everything. So, is what we're going to be talking about here this morning. But we're going to talk about a hero of faith. He's a hero to me. If you read about him, you guys all know there's many of heroes in the Bible of faith. But there's one that stands out to me more than anybody that I know of to me, and that would be Joseph. Joseph is, when I read about him in the Bible, he is... It's just like he enthralls me. The things that he'd been through in his life, the things that he's done in his life, and he still had the faith. So I'll give you a little instance about what Joseph did in his thing. Everybody probably knows, but through Genesis 37 through 50, he's one of the talked about most people in Genesis, and there's got many chapters about him. He's an amazing man, but I'm going to talk about, first of all, how he is dealt with through his family. His dad loved him more than anybody, as you guys probably know, more than his other brothers. Gave him a coat of many colors. His brothers ended up not liking him for this. Your dad likes you more. How dare you? And they resented him, right? And they didn't want nothing to... they wanted to get rid of him. They threw him in a pit first. And then they... the Midianites came by and they... end up selling him to them. And then, after the Midianites came, they went into Egypt, and the Midianites sold them to Potiphar, right? And then you got Potiphar that he dwelt in Potiphar's house for many years, and he was doing great there, and then Potiphar's wife came along and did what she did, and then he got thrown into prison. And so, and there are just a number of things that keep on just adding up through Joseph's life. As a young man, you got to remember this as I'm speaking here this morning, he was a young man. Started off, I don't know, probably 17, I think 18 years old-ish. That's what I was getting at here, and he was a young man. So, he was a teenager, pretty much, in our effects today. So, I mean, he suffered so much. He had so much anguish. He had so much sadness in his life through all these years. And so, I just want you guys to think about that, and think about the lessons you can learn from Joseph as we speak here today. I got some, but there's, as I was studying this, there's so many that we can learn from Joseph. I mean, we talked, actually last Sunday night, Herman stood up here and we talked a little bit about Joseph. It wasn't the whole thing, but he talked a little bit about Joseph that night, the last Sunday night, about depressions and stuff. You know, we know that he had it, the stuff he went through and stuff. So just there's so many lessons as you read through this. And I just gave you a little portion. I got some scriptures we're going to read, but that's just a little quick story about what we're going to go about over through Joseph. So, but my first point is with Joseph here today is doing the right thing does not always lead to physical relief. Of course, as I just said, the brothers resented him, led him to selling him to the Midianites, and you know, and so on, and sold him to Potiphar. And the Midianites sold him to Potiphar, and Potiphar was the officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guards. Through all this, Joseph stayed faithful. Genesis 39:2. And Judah saw... Nope, that's 38, excuse me. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master of an Egyptian. So he was So he became the master of the Potiphar's house, and he stayed faithful through this whole time with Potiphar, and had he was there by himself. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife came casting longing eyes at him, as it says in 39:7. It says that the Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes at Joseph. And Joseph did the right thing there. What did Joseph do? Joseph ran away, right? But, as I just said, doing the right thing does not always lead to a great relief, right? So, here you go. You got Joseph that ran away from Potiphar's wife. He did what was right. Right then, but his wife got angry, and Joseph's coat was left in her hand, and it turned the tables on him, and told Potiphar what her side of the story was, and got thrown in jail. So life is unfair, but God is always fair. So if you want to turn to 1 Peter 2, 19 through 21. Good, Mark. First Peter 2, 19 through 21. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if you, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. So, here we go. We got two examples right there. First, I just talked about Joseph. And then you got a man that died on the cross that suffered for us for doing the right thing. Did he not? Jesus never sinned on this earth, did he? He never sinned, but he still suffered. So are we going to have suffering in this life when we do this? We're going to have lots of suffering when we are following in the steps and having the faith of God. Matthew 5, 11 through 12, as Peter just read, the Beatitude talks about the same thing of suffering. The suffering we're going to have. Being a Christian is not always a convenient, and it leads to difficulties. If you're not having difficulties in your life of your Christian walk, maybe you're going down the wrong path. Maybe you're on the wrong boat. I mean, because it tells us all through the Bible that it's not going to be easy. We're on the narrow path. We're going to have people poking, prodding, doing stuff at us. It's not going to be easy. But if you have the faith in the Lord, it always will be. So when you're suffering in this life, and you go along and you're suffering and you're doing that, you always suffer no matter what, but why don't you suffer for God and not for just no reason at all, right? Wouldn't that be easiest? If you just suffer for something that is worth suffering for, I mean, He'll make your suffering worth it at the end. No matter what, He will make the suffering worth it. Another point is God will make all things work together for the good. So we just talked about the suffering there, and He's going to make it work for the good. Okay, so as we know that, like I talked about, this is Father loved him so much, and Joseph Father loved Joseph so much, and Joseph was with Potiphar about 11 years in prison. Joseph was with Potiphar 11 years, and then he got thrown into prison. And Joseph met Pharaoh, the chief butler and baker. Pharaoh's chief butler and baker, excuse me. Joseph's dreams, Joseph was a dream interpreter. He dreamed at the beginning. I forgot to mention that at the beginning, actually. Before, one reason that Joseph hated his brothers didn't like him so much because after he got the coat of many colors, he had a dream, and he told his brothers that I'm going to rule over you. So how would that make you feel to have to pile up the resentment even more? You know, so that would even be even more. So Joseph was a dreamer. He knew all about these dreams. And so in it talks about in Genesis 40 that he interpreted the Pharaoh's chief butler and baker because they were in prison with him now. And Joseph, they woke up. You could tell that they were troubled, and Joseph went over and was very kind once again, and asked what was the problem, and he interpreted her dreams. Told the chief butler that you will be serving once again, and then told the chief baker that you will be hung and stuff. And so all this came true. And so he was in prison for 2 years, and then here comes Pharaoh out of nowhere. Joseph, I can only imagine as you're sitting in jail, he told this man, the baker, just please remember me, please tell Pharaoh that this is what I told you was going to happen. And well, of course, he got forgotten once again, sent in jail for 2 years. Hope's probably fading, hope's probably vanishing, you know, it's probably gone, but it didn't. Pharaoh had a dream. No one could interpret except for Joseph. He asked around, Pharaoh asked around, what was this dream all about? And he couldn't find anyone. And then the butler remembered, Joseph, he did that for my dream. So here it comes. It's coming out to work out for the good, you know. Everything was going bad, and then here it comes. It's going for the good because Joseph kept the faith. So Joseph interpreted the dreams, and he said it was going to be 7 years of good eating. That's not how it's interpreted in the Bible. That's how I use it. Good evening. It would be 7 years of famine. You know, you're going to be starving. And then out of nowhere, you got in Genesis 41. So if you want to turn with me to Genesis 41 real quick. We're going to go, I believe it's 39 to 41. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shewed thee all this, there is none to discreet and wise thou art. Thou shalt be over my house according to... I think I got the wrong one, don't I? Oh, excuse me, I do. That's talking about... Okay, anyway, we'll just move on there. chapter 41... before I get all confused in my letters. But anyway, it talks about, and then he goes from prison to all the way up to the top. He is, the only person that's going to be over him, Pharaoh tells him, is that him, right? Everything, well, prison to king, pretty much, is what he's got going on, right? And so, when I said, God will make all things work together for good, I believe that Joseph stuck right there and believed it, don't you? He was going through all this stuff, all these ups and downs, in Potiphar's house, going good, wife cheats on, tried to cheat on him with him, and got thrown away, and then he gets thrown into prison. 2 years later, everybody forgets about him, and then here we go. He's up on the high again. God is in charge. He is ultimately in control. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord thy God is... The Lord thy God, He it is thou doeth good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So, no matter what, we know that He's in charge. And as Buckley read in Romans 8:28, tells us the same thing at the beginning of church. Life of Joseph was a best example how God works out plans. Is it not? You will know God, know why God does things in your life, and you will use them for good if you have the faith. Don't just think that you got it under control. Something's going bad in your life, and I got to change this around. Stand still, people. God has this. Use it in your life for good. Me myself, and some of you know this, I went from a good, pretty decent job at City of Green Valley, and I thought I had it made working from really close to my house, 3 miles from my home, paid really good money, and I was like, going good. I went there, and it was a disaster. I'm not kidding you. It was not good at all. It was working in my life really bad. I was coming home with hatred because of my job, and I just... what is going on? And then I had this other job offer finally come along a year later, and now it's the best thing in my life. But what I look back on that job that I was suffering in, I have gained so much faith in the good Lord, because that's what He made it for. He put me there for a reason. When I was there, I had no idea what in the world is going on with my life and stuff. But I stayed strong. I showed my faith to a lot of people there, and this is what I come out with. He put me in a better job, a better place to work, and I am so happy right now. Everybody asks me, it's just a great place to be where I'm at. I get to share Christianity where I'm at. I get to just to love and just have a good time with people. So, if you do, just stand still and wait. If you think your life is going down, stand still, sit back, wait for God's salvation for you, because it's going to happen. Have faith that He will do this for you. I know we get all in this bunch. So number three is no good excuse. There's no excuse good enough to break God's commandments.
Amen.
Joseph, as I said earlier, was young. He moved to Egypt. He knew nobody there. He could have had a lot of chances to be like, okay, I'm just going to do this because I got a good in Potiphar's house, you know, and so if I lay with his wife, you know, and I can make excuses for all this sin I was going to do, but he didn't. He was betrayed and sold to slavery, imprisoned for doing the right, and he also was forgotten. He could have made many excuses. If God's way of life is important to you, you will find every way to follow Him instead of making excuses. I mean, there's so... there's just the way it works out is... with Joseph, we can learn so much with him not giving excuses. I mean, it's so easy for us to come along and have an excuse for every little sin that we do. What's your excuse for sin? Do you put one out there? I mean, I know I have. And probably every one of us here could probably raise our hand. I don't want you to raise your hand, but we all could probably say, yeah, I have done that. You know, there's been... just maybe like, oh, it's just a little bitty excuse for this little bitty sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And it's what's right. The moment you give in to that temptation of losing, of your lousy excuse for that little sin, you're losing the opportunity to build godly character. Get rid of the excuses. Please turn to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. I'm going to read 1 and 2 right here, actually. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great of a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just run your race. So I mean, it just says it plainly right there. I can't explain that any more than what the Bible does right there. Run your race. No excuses. It's going to be hard. It'll be okay. Endure the cross. That's what it's there for. But just endure it. Don't be ashamed. The front of the bulletin, I saw that today. It kind of goes along with a little bit on saying, the very front of that, it's do not be ashamed. It's the Psalms. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Endure that cross. Be with it. Number 4, I've got learn the art of delayed gratification. We live in a world where we get instant gratification, don't we? Are we honest? We want it, we get it. By a push of a button. I want that, so I'll swipe my credit card. Or I want that, you know, we get it right then and there. I mean, that's what kind of world we live in, it seems like, these days. And we can't be patient anymore with it, can we? We cannot be patient for anything. Well, just like I was talking about through this whole thing, is being patient is being faithful. Can you be patient? We've seen that Joseph did. He had many years, 2 years in prison. The brothers went away with him. You know, he's in Potiphar's house and thinking everything was good. But, you know, I mean, he had lots of ups and downs. He was still patient. He had faith. He had dreamed that he was going to be in charge, but he had no idea what he was going to be in charge about. I mean, when he was going to be in charge, or where he was going to be in charge, or what happened. You know, he had no idea, but he still, that dream, he had the faith. Can you wait like Joseph did? One reason that Joseph knew that he kept his faith, because in Titus 1:2 it tells us, and Joseph knew it right then, and he says he did. Titus 1:2 tells us God does not lie. Let's see here. I'll read it real quick. It's a very short verse. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So that's one reason. He just knew if he had faith in the Lord, everything was going to be all right. Man, I wish I could have that faith. I wish I could have that faith. The moment of pain due to following God's commandments is worth the eternal glory in God's eternal kingdom. So the pain you have right now, that whatever, because you're running your race, you're staying faithful, you're believing in the good Lord, the pain that you're getting right now is going to be worth it, people. We might not know when, we might not know where, it's going to be worth it. It's called delayed gratification. You might not get it right this second. There's a reason he's doing it. Sin will bring you fleeting physical pleasures that won't last. You choose to enjoy that sin for a brief moment. Suffer now, and you might not suffer now, but the suffering will be major in the long run. But if you just take that pain and that little bit of suffering, the blessings is for eternity, like I just said. All right, my fifth one, and I'll be done, I promise. Obedience to God's commandments brings lasting blessings. Joseph was obedient to the whole thing, was he not? He was obedient to the whole thing. We know it's tough. How tough it is to be the odd one out in this world, don't we? You know, we're always, maybe you're not at the center of the crowd, or you're not the one standing on the number one podium. Oh, look at him! You know, it's a little tough. I believe me, I've been through this. I know exactly what it is. It tells us a number of times in the Bible it's going to be tough. It tells us it's going to be rough. But we need to remember we reap what we sow. We do reap what we sow. What you do in this life, you will sow for it. Obedience to God is the proof of your faith. Disobedience is the proof of disbelief. We know that Joseph had faith, and he discriminated an act of faith in his life. His faith was tested, proven, and to be genuine. He stuck with God's commandments all the way through the whole thing. We need to also have the faith so we can endure the blessings in this life, in a life to come. There's something up on where I work I think it was the secretary there, that she wrote up on this big whiteboard. And I look at it every day, I'm like, that's amazing. So I get to look at it every day. But it's the word faith spelled out. F-A-I-T-H. And she's got something written after each letter. So F stands for forwarding. A stands for all. I stands for issues. And T stands for two. And H stands for heaven. Forwarding all issues to heaven. And so I thought, that's huge. That's what faith's all about, isn't it? And just give it to him. Put this to a powerful lesson to use. Joseph gives us all a bunch of lessons here. And at the end of the story, Joseph says to his brothers in Genesis 45, 5 through 8. I'm going to read that last little bit. Genesis 45, 5 through 8. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you and to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the lord of all his house, and the ruler throughout all of land of Egypt. So right there, his brothers that started this whole thing, they believe, you know. But Joseph knew this whole time that this is God's plan. All the ups and downs he'd been through, everything that he's done, it was God's plan the whole time. And Joseph stuck right there. So in your life, if I want you to get anything out of this, even if you're in a huge slump, we haven't been through what Joseph's been through. I haven't, at least. I don't mean... but I've been through a lot, but I haven't been through, it seems like, that much torture. I haven't been through that, but... He kept the faith. So if there's anything that you can do, if you're in that lowly spot in your life right now, look to God, pray to Him, have that faith, run that race, endure the cross, let it be known, because He's there for you. He's there for each and every one of us. Do you let God work in your life? Are you patient? Can you have that? If there's anyone here right now that needs the help, there's elders here, there's me, there's plenty of other men in this congregation that would love to sit, study, pray, do whatever you need to do. Please let it be known. We're here for you. Everybody here, that's why I said at the beginning of this lesson, you guys make it so much easier for me to get up here and do something like that. And the love here in this church has been fantastic. So if there's anybody here that wants to come forward and let their sins be known, or if you're struggling, let us pray for you. If you're, whatever it might be, please just come forward as David sings the song that he has selected.